We're continuing our teaching today, and I need you to follow me heartily. We started a journey last week, and we set off from last week looking at something very important as a local assembly. And I would want to trust that our study here helps us to come to an important place of understanding, a key discipline of the Christian faith. A key discipline of the Christian faith, which is why we gather. And if you were not here last week, I may not be able to take a very good recap because we're just going to get into our conversation. But then if I was going to give a very good summary as to our conversation last week, is that we sought out to understand why we gather. And then we took some time to do due diligence to look at it, because not many believers understand why they do the things they do. Why do we pray? Why do we study? Why should we give ourselves to discipleship? Why should we be giving to evangelism? Why should we come to church? And I said last week that once we don't get to understand why, we're in big trouble. Because then our convictions are not firm and are not, you know, strong enough. It means the least information we probably get to hear sways us off into so many other things that is not. So as a pastor, because a pastoral conversation, we are looking at this very importantly. And of course, we are doing some due diligence to this so we can have some firm grounding, and then we can do the work we ought to do, and we can show up for gatherings and make sure that other people as well shows up for gatherings. So last week we took a statistical studies on, you know, some researches on gatherings. And I'm not going to go back to it, but then I just want us to be in the mood and I can carry you on into our conversation. We also took some time seeing from these statistical studies or researches how important gatherings are socially. We took one from Harvard, we took another from a woman called Jonia. And so we're going to continue on that as well. We saw that clearly last week. Then we also took some time getting into Genesis, seeing how that God put gatherings together right from the beginning, where he has Adam and Eve coming together and he will go visit them. And that's him establishing fellowship with them. Do we remember? Okay. And then we took some time combing around the Old Testament writings or the Old Testament books. We saw Genesis chapter number 127. Of course, we saw Exodus 19. We moved on to seeing Deuteronomy chapter 4, where the reason for gathering will be to hear the voice of God, to learn the fear of the Lord, to teach future generations of what the counsel of God is. Then we got to Deuteronomy 31. We also saw Joshua chapter 24. We saw Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 1 to 3. And then we got to carve out like a very clear understanding that God is very particular about his gatherings. Did we see that? All right. So God is very particular about his gatherings. And so we must be as well particular about God's gathering. If he is particular about his gathering, we should be particular about his gathering. We also get to establish, or we got to establish the fact that whenever we gather, we present ourselves unto the Lord. Right? We present ourselves unto the Lord. And then when we cause others to gather as well, we bring them to present them as well unto the Lord. Now we're going to see that much clearly in this particular teaching. So that's what we had been looking at last week, you know, just seeing some more proof. Of course, the scriptures are for proof. And so we were looking at it very clearly. Now, the truth of the matter is that God does not do anything obituary. Like, he doesn't do things that lead to emptiness or death. He doesn't do that. Meaning he's not in the business of bringing destruction. So if he gives an instruction, that instruction is for your own good. And of course, in the context of our conversation, if he says to gather, it means that there is a reason why he wants us to gather as a church. You seem like you have a lot of no time for God. But then, I can assure you, God has so many busy things to do than you. He's busier. He's far busier than yourself. If you say you have 1,000 things to do, God has an uncountable number of things to attend to. And yet still, he calls for a gathering, and he himself is present in the gathering. Because when we gather, he's here. You know, he could say, I'm not going to be available. But whenever we gather, he's there. It means that at any available period or time for any gathering, he's open. Sunday morning is open. If we as a church decide that Sunday evening we are meeting again, he's going to be here. So when we have a lot of excuses why we're not able to gather, then we prioritize those things than God. And that's something we ought to be very intentional about. So meaning he's not in the business of giving an instruction and wanting you to waste away your time. Look at Proverbs 4 verse 20. I'm going to move a bit faster than usual today. So, I hope you follow me. Cash. Because I'm that lecturer today. That wants to... Whether the slide is finished or it's not finished. We are finishing. Unless, of course, God says that, okay, we should tip it off into next week. So, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, can we read together as a church, verse 20 to 22? Is everyone there? Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are what? For their life. So God works life in the instructions that he gives to us as people. So if he says gather, be present in meetings, and make sure others are present in meetings, it means that instruction, it works unto life. It works unto our good. It works unto your good. It doesn't work unto your disadvantage. It works unto your good. So, he's not just telling you, gather. No. In fact, he could actually tell you gather and not even explain to you why he wants you to gather. Because he is God, isn't he? But then he still tells us why. So, church gatherings are so important. Don't have a habit of not being in church. Like it's normal for you. No. That's not God's will for your life. Are you listening? So, let's just go through quickly. I'm going to take you through quickly. Like I said, today, we are running 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. I can stay in my room and worship my own God in my own kana. It's true. But it doesn't take you being present for the gatherings away. Are you listening? He wants you to stay in your room in your own kana, and he wants you to be present for his meeting. How many of us are fathers called for meetings and we choose not to appear? Like a very serious meeting. Your father has called for a very serious meeting. He says that the family is meeting by 5 p.m. but you choose not to be present. That's very dishonorable. So in 1 Corinthians 18 verses 11, he says, for first of all, when ye come together in the church, can we read verse 18 together as a local assembly? One, two, go. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, do we see that? Coming what?
Together.
Coming what?
Together.
Look at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. We need to come together. That's his instruction, is to come together. 1 Corinthians 14, 23. Can we take it together? If therefore the whole church become together in what? One place. The whole church become together in one place. He didn't say stay in your room. No, we are coming together. Coming together. Coming together. And all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are on land and unbelievers. Will they not say that ye are mad? Coming together. Look at verse 26. Again, as a church, one to go. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Do we see that? He's not saying that stay in your room. No, he says come together. When ye come together. It means that God's plan for us is to be what? Together, is to come together. Let's not be wiser than God. He wants us coming together. Now, we're going to pay some emphasis on together quickly, a word study in Corinthians and Acts. Together is our word study. 14:27, 26. Let's read. How is it then, brethren, when ye come together? Every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. Do we see that? So he says, when you come together, everybody has something to give. Somebody has a tongue, somebody has an interpretation, somebody has a psalm. But then it happens when we come together. That's the plan of God. He wants us coming together. Look at Acts 14. We're going to go down, down, down. Acts 14, 27. Acts 14, 27. I need you to be on flight student mode. I believe I have students, not normal students. I have students who know how to fly, right? So, Bibles quickly, we're reading quickly, we're in class. I want to show you something that God's Word says. Alright. So, 14:27, one to go. And when they were come and had gathered the church together. Do we see that? So, do you see that the church almost moves with a synonym, together. Right? Together. 2:44. One to go. And all that believe were what? Together. Do you see that? And 2:44. And all that believe were together and had all things in common. They were together. They had all things in common. They did everything together. They were together. They flowed together. They had all things in common together. Acts 3 verse 1. One to go. Now Peter and John went up together. Do we see that? So these were two together people. Together. But there's still a gathering. gather is together. Are you listening? So we see that Corinthians church together, the church in Acts together, they had all things in common together. Look at Acts 4:31. Acts 4:31. Can we read together as a local assembly? One, two, go. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled, where? Together. And they were all what? Filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with what? Boldness. So, you see that the move of the Spirit happened when they were what? Together. You can check it. The move of the Spirit mightily in Acts, normally happening when people are together. You can't host the move of God alone. The move of God happens together. So the more people gather, the more we'll have God moving amongst his people. Now that is his plan. Acts 13:44, still on the same conversation. Acts 13:44. One, two, go. And the next Sabbath day came, almost the whole city, what? Together. So, the entire city is coming, what? Together. So, there's just something about together. Together. To gather. To gather. Gather. Together. There's something supernatural about it. And that's what I want us to see. You know, it's the word synagio. S-Y-N-A-G-I-O. It's to collect together. That's the word together. To be gathered. Something about the fullness of the worship of God when we come together. Now pay attention. It's not the building. It's not the building. It's the people coming together. The church of God is not the building. That's why it's called a church building. The real church is this. When we, if we could take off the building, if I had that power to take off the building, right? We'll take it off, then we'll now say, forget the building, this is the church. So the church building, or is the church facility? It facilitates our worship. That's why it's a facility. The environment, the atmosphere, the things that are said only facilitates, it helps in what we do. But the real substance or weight is not the building. And that is what God wants to see. Now, building church buildings are great. They are good. But that's not it. Which people are gathering in that building, which people are seated in that building, is what he is more particular about. Good to have architectural structures. I'm hoping my architecture students are studying very hard. So that they can give us more structures to build. Yeah. Buildings together. But that's not what God is doing. Together. So he wants the people. Now, what I'm going to teach, I've taught it before, but I'm going to teach it in a context of the people gathering together. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. And this should bless you. Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 18. So, I said the word together is synagio or synago, right? But then we already have seen that the word church is ecclesia. So, two Greek words normally used for the church, ecclesia and synago or synagio, right? Now, I told us that previously in one of the teachings that the church is not the building, it's the people, right? So when we read, if the people are gathering together. Then what is he doing in Mark or Matthew 16 verse 18? Let's read it together as a church. 1, 2, go. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build what? I'll build my church. Pay attention. Pay attention. And what? The gates of hell shall not what? Prevail against it. Now, what is he building? The church. What is the church? The people. What are they doing? They are gathering together. So in other words, what is Jesus doing today? He's gathering. Now that gathering is like 2, 3, 5, 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000. So the will of God and what Jesus is doing in the context of our conversation is that he's just gathering. That's all. The reason why we need a church building is because of the gathering. Because when we gather and it begins to rain, the rain could affect the gathering. It could spoil the instruments. It could spoil the things that we have here. So what God's plan is actually is that he is just gathering. The building of the church there is the gathering. Because in the gathering will be the teaching of God's word, will be the training of God's people, and those people receiving God's word, imparting them into generations to come. Do you see that? So after salvation, when God saves you, yeah, now I'm saved. I'm the new creature in Christ Jesus. Yeah, glory to God. Glory. Yeah, yeah. What is he doing afterwards? After your new creation reality, what is he doing? He's causing you to be in his gathering and gathering other people for his purpose. So for those of us who think the gathering of Jesus is just something to laugh about, that is what he's actually doing. I will build my church. I'll build my church. I'll build my church. Let's take away the building. The building of the church is the gathering. So when you get into a hostel and you say, let's gather here by 4 p.m. What are you doing in Jesus' stead? You are building what he's building. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are building. So, which would you prefer? You know, in 1 Corinthians, he calls us buildings or houses, right? Which would you prefer? A 10,000 houses for our Lord God or 100 houses for our Lord God? Now, who is that house? Stand up for me. That's a house. Because in her dwells the Holy Ghost. Stand up for me. That's another house. Stand up for me. That's another house. Another house. Another house. All right, all those here, stand up for me. These are all houses unto our God. Houses unto our God. So, if God comes, let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Let's say there are 70 people here. How many rooms are you giving God in this meeting now? You who is here, how many room is here? He has 70 free rooms. He calls us the temple of God. Would we rather have a 70,000 gather or a 70 people? A 70,000. So when we set our mind, see, your whole life doing this is fulfilling God's plan. Being in the gathering and making sure others are in the gathering. I'll show it to you. I'll show it to you. You'll be convinced that, now, when I'm coming to church, when I'm moving for a meeting, when I see a space, all I should see is a gathering. When we look at a facility, we must say, no, let's buy that facility so we can have more people to gather in that facility for the glory of God to be revealed. So take your seats. So in Matthew 16, what he's doing is that he is building his church. Now last week we saw what he was doing. The glory of God comes, you know, in the building. You know, the people are taught. The people worship him. The people see him in his magnificence as he boasts around. You know, when God heals somebody here, we've seen healings, a lot of them, lots of healing. That's him just coming and proving himself. That's what he wants to do. That's why he created us and you. He created yourself and myself. Are you listening? So, in Mark, I'm used to Mark
very much because of Mark 11.
So in Matthew 16, he says, I will build my church. He is building his church. And we said that church is the gathering. Now the word church there is the word ecclesia. These are people that he calls out from amongst the many. Is the word ekkalio. Ek is out from. Kalio is to call. So what he's practically doing is that he calls out people from the world. Now what has he called them to do? What has he called them to do? Like I said, it's a teaching meeting, actually, it's a teaching meeting. What has he called them to do? To gather. Are you listening? He calls them out to gather. It's in the gathering, they learn of him, then they are able to show forth his praises to the world, to the other world. So, God calls out his people, then he wants to boast over those people. He says, look at my people. Look at my people. They are different from the world. That's why when you are not in a gathering, you are in the world. You are like the world. But you are supposed to be called out from the world. They'll say, your boss says, you know, you can't attend church for the next 2 months. And you say, but I'm called out. You know, I can't be chasing the things that the people of the world are chasing. Because there's a difference that I carry. He calls me out. Oh, you know, there's nothing wrong with missing the gathering. There's something very seriously wrong. Except you don't understand it. Now, when I teach you this, do you know that your judgment is going to be very different? Because other people don't know what you are hearing. So maybe he's going to have quite some mercy on them. But you, I'm showing it to you. Yes. And this is not something I sat down and I prayed. Meditated on God. I said, this is how it is. This is what it means. So if he's building his church, he is building his gathering. Are you listening? That's why I showed you together in the early parts of the church, which is in Acts. They were gathered together. It's a pattern for God. So these are what called out people. God loves it when you gather, like you are in the gathering, you are there. And you are not only gathering, you are making sure that others are in the gathering too. That's how serious it is. That's how serious it is. Oh, you know, Pastor, you know, right now, I'm not a big man, so I'm trying to inflate my tummy, but it doesn't seem to be inflated, I don't know, so that I could demonstrate it, because they have a little pot belly. You know, Pastor, you know, I've been busy, you know, and you know, right now, I've been traveling to South Africa. I just came back from Nairobi. A couple of minutes. I met someone like that. I just came back from So I looked at him like this. Homo, you are bigger than God. That's why you should be running for the gathering. When you see that there's a gathering, that's a very serious matter. That is what God is doing. That is why you are breathing, I'm telling you. You go and stand before him and see. Not right now, in a couple of years time. Or maybe you go and come and tell us. We'll resurrect you when you go. You come by and say, eh? Oh boy. What pastor was teaching last Sunday, you know? Jesus told me that, hey, that's what he's doing, you know? He's just gathering. That's his work. He gathers his people, then he comes to show himself. He gathers his people, then he teaches the people his ways on how to live for him in a well that they have been called out from. Sunday morning in blankets is a very serious issue. You are soaked, drenched in a blanket on any gathering day. Huh? That's when we wash. We cook all the soups. You are telling God that I'm busy than you. And God is saying, look at this girl. Michael, come and see. Oh, you know, I have that serious, very serious, you know, meetup. You know, quite recently I was in my bed and I saw a scene. I said, hey, is this real or it's not real? Huh? Gatherings. I'm not saying this because I'm a man of God. I'm saying it because God wants us all together doing what he wants us doing. Are you listening? It has nothing to do with myself. It has everything to do with what God wants to do. So, you see that people are in the gathering. Then they also get people in the gathering. Because they know that gathering, last week, is unto who? Is unto God. I told you that gatherings are unto one. When you go for your friend's wedding, it's just because you want your friend to know that you are there and you honor the person. You honor the person. Some of us appear there and we appear when they see us, hey! That's all. We disappear. We go so that they can just see us. I'm chief, I confess. Once they see us, hey, prof! Hey, that's finished. They've seen that I've honored the gathering. That is all. So, we go because we gather, we honor people. Now, this gathering is unto one whom we honor. It's unto one whom we honor. So we see that gatherings are God's plan. Go to Isaiah. I want to show you something very interesting in Isaiah. Don't forget Ecclesia, Ekkalio, called out from amongst the people. Isaiah 66. This is where the work is going to start. Isaiah 66. Now let me just give you a brief summary of Isaiah 66. In Isaiah 66, God is saying something important about a rebellious people, a people who reject his word. Then he compares it to a faithful remnant of people who tremble at his word. So in Isaiah chapter 3, 66 verse 3 to 6, I'm going to read it quickly. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificed a lamb is as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offered an oblation is as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense is as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighted in their own abominations. So these are a group of people. They choose their own ways. They are not going to gather. They don't care about the gathering. They choose whenever they want to. They don't place any priority on God's gathering. They are God to themselves. They do whatever they want to do. They are absent every time, almost every time they are not present. Verse 5. He says, verse 4, I also will choose their delusions and bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. So God is calling out for gatherings, and many are not answering. In those gatherings are your questions answered, your sicknesses healed, your diseases dealt with. Fellowship amongst the brethren, which is a key component of helping you do well. All of these things are missing. So he calls, they don't hear. But they choose to do evil before my eyes and choose that in which I delighted not. So what he doesn't want to do is what they have made up their minds that they are going to do. They come to the gathering, they sleep. I felt like that was like a bomb. They are in the gathering. Their minds are wondering, like, how can we finish the gathering? What time is he going to close? Your church, what time did they say they close? In the gathering, but not in the gathering. So he calls them rebellious people. Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word, ye brethren that hated you, that cast you out of for my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendered recompense to his enemies. So he's comparing a rebellious people to a faithful remnant, those who tremble at his word. Now, jump to verse 18 because of time. I'm going to read patiently. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather what? All nations. Do we see that? So his plan is that all nations be what? Be gathered. And tongues. And they shall come and see my glory. All nations are coming to see the glory of God. And he will gather. Now, is God gathering? Is he gathering? Where is God today? He's in us today. So, what are one of his works he's doing through us? He's gathering. Now, keep your hands or your whatever, your papers, get something stuck at Isaiah 66. For those of you who have good Bibles, you have help on that. Then go to Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Verse 27. Alright, we're reading together. One, two, go. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee. Verse 28. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. What's the work of a governor? He governs the people. He brings them together. Come here. Don't pass. Oh, that's a breach of the law. He rules. He instructs other people under him. So we see that what God is doing is that he literally is governing the people. And how he governs the people is to gather the people. That's how he governs them. He gathers them and he teaches them his word. Look at Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. And we're reading from verse 2 to 4. Isaiah chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. The word flow into it is to gather into it. They will flow into it. Every nation is flowing into it. And this is a vision that Isaiah saw, that all nations are flowing into his gathering. Go to chapter 49, verse 6. Chapter 49, verse 6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles that thou mayest be my salvation unto the ends of the earth. Verse 8, thus said the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause thee to inherit the desolate heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth to them that are in darkness, shew themselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in the high places. Do you see that? How will they feed? They are going to be together, feeding. And that's his salvation. You know that when you don't preach to people, they can't get saved, right? They can't get saved. So we need to preach to people. That's how they feed. How are they going to feed? It's when there is pasture. The pasture is at a place. It's at a stable environment. Then they gather for the pasture. Do you see that? Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all what? Nations. Do you see that God is particular about the nations gathering? People gathering. I will gather. Back to Isaiah 66, 19. He calls them out, then he gathers them. He calls them out, then he gathers them. He calls us out to gather. Isaiah 66, verse 19. He says, I will set a sign among them. There will be a sign amongst them, and I will send those that escape of them out unto the nations. Now, there's a sign. Pay attention. He sets a sign. Then there are those that escape from a group of people. To escape is literally the people who are picked out from the many. That's the escape. Now the sign is that he causes some other people to escape, is to be called out from the main people or from the lot. Then what does he do? I will send those that escape unto the nations. So, he's not only causing people to escape. He doesn't only call you as a member of the church. He calls you, then what does he do? He sends you. Is that Matthew 28 that we just read? Go ye therefore and make disciples. So, he picks some, which is the church, then he sends them out. So we can say that those who are sent out, where are they sent to? They are sent unto the nations. First to where? To Tarshish. Let's break it down into our context. Let's start with Accra. He calls you out as the church, right? You know, it's the great escape. You escape from the world by the mercy and the grace of God. So he causes you to escape. Then he sends you out to Awoshi, Adenta, where? Pram Pram. Some of you who say Pram Pram is too far. You say in nations. If I had mentioned South Africa, you see that it's very far. Coming to the gathering is very far. It's not very far. So he calls you, then he sends you. What are some other places he sends you to? Dansuman. Adenta. Or where? Ebri. Behind there. Uh-huh. Kaswa. He calls you out, then he sends you. What are some other places? La Paz. And then where else? Pokwasi. He calls you out and he sends you. Lord, why am I living? I'm telling you why you are living. You have been living, you are sent. You are a sent person. He picks you out. That's the church. He picks you out. Then he sends you. What are some other places? Circle. And Tema. And your area. Don't leave your area out, because it's like you are trying to run away from the areas. You don't want us to say that God has picked you out. Huh? A shaman. Yeah. He calls you and he sends you out. Doenya. Then some of you, he sends you to South Africa, sends you to Nairobi, sends you to Uganda, sends you to, is the calling. You see, you don't want to say amen. And some of you, he sends you to Canada. You want to go to Canada? How many of us want to go to Canada? Okay, he sends you. Sends you. Picks you and he sends you. Go to Somalia. Hey, I saw someone say, me, I will not go. I'm serious. The person said that while I was watching your letter. So he calls, then he sends. Danfa. Agbogba. Asoman. He calls you and he sends you. When you stand before him, you see. You see what I'm saying is really true. You see. The Lord, I didn't know. He said, hey, Sunday. Taught you. So when he looks at me, I'll say, Lord, I thought. So he sends you. So let's look at some more. He sends you to Tarshish. He sends you to Pool. He sends you to Lud. That draw the bow. To Tubal, to Javan. To the isles afar off. It's not isthmus. Eh? It's isles. Keep it in your mind. The isles are far off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my what? My glory. And they shall do what? Declare my glory. Among who? The Gentiles. The Gentiles are the unbelievers, right? So he sends us out to preach the gospel. Now here is where I want you to know, because there are now men who fit into today's meeting, who are going to catch something by just this teaching. So he sends them out, then they declare his glory. We're still on gatherings, right? In fact, today we're on the man that gathers. We are closing the meeting. The man that gathers. Like, as for you, gathering are you not gathering. So he sends them out. Then they shall declare his glory. They shall declare his fame. Mark 16. These signs shall follow them, right? In my name they will cast out devils. Is that declaring his glory, declaring his fame? Yes. He sends us out. We preach. We lay hands on the sick. Then we don't only preach to declare his glory. Look at verse 20. And they shall bring all your brethren. We are going to bring the people that we have preached to. Huh? We are not going to leave them out. And what are these people going to be? I told you last week, right? What are these people going to be? For an offering unto the Lord. So after we have gone to preach, Aoshi, after you are in that room with that lady, maybe you didn't go to preach, but you are in a room with somebody. You shared God's word with a person. He says, you will not only leave it there, you are going to bring them and you're going to present them as an offering unto the Lord out of what? All nations. So we're going to bring them. That's what God is doing. That's what God is doing in his gathering. He's getting people out, which is his church. Then he sends forth his church. That's why his church is a missionary church. Any church that's not a missionary church is not in God's plan. Missions is God's plan. To preach is God's plan. To get people saved is God's plan. To disciple others is God's plan. Then these people go out. They show forth his glory. Then they bring them in as an offering unto the Lord out of all the nations upon horses. Upon horses. Upon horses. How many does horses take? Two or three. Upon motorcycles in today's present day. Yeah. So those of you who have motorcycles and who know motor riders, he says upon horses, the mode of transportation is what he's showing us. So there are going to be people sitting on motorbikes, motorcycles, bicycles, because bicycle can pick one. You pedal. Why are you sending them? As an offering unto the Lord. As an offering. As an offering unto God. Glory to God. As an offering unto God. So, they're going to be horses. Then, and in chariots. These are Ubers. Huh? Ubers. You're going to pay for people's Uber fares. Or drive people in. Mini cars of six. You know, there's some cars that take 2, 4, 6. And you are the driver. And you are bringing them as an offering unto God. What are you doing? You are facilitating his will on the earth. You get them. And you bring them in. Yeah. Yango. What are Uber? Shagzi. You know Shagzi? Okay. So, the gatherings are on horses, are on chariots. All nations. We are gathering them from everywhere. So why go unto our God? Unto our God. Unto our God. You know, you say, I can't come. You say, come where? We are going today. You know, I saw a testimony and they were saying that this Christ family people, you don't want to come to church. They are forcing you to come to church. Why not? It's a gathering unto our God. That's what happens. We're gathering the people. We're getting them in. Presenting them as offerings unto our God. You know, the Kung Fu likes somebody that refers him. Like this Kung Fu, he really does well. I've not done some before. Just in case. But I'm sure he likes that. Like this man, his powers is good. So you come. Agbaniba. Or Agbalagba. So he says, we're going to gather them from every space and every place. Now, and in litters. Litters is an Old Testament word for wheelchairs. I think I saw a wheelchair in today. In Wheaters. Those who cannot walk, you get them wheelchairs. These are ambulances today. The gathering is unto our God. See, there's nobody that he comes and he does what he wants to do. The gathering is unto our God. Somebody cannot walk. You say, don't worry. When you walk, when you come into the meeting, God will help you to walk. God will help you to walk. Come into the meeting. You'll be there. So these are litters. Wheelchairs, ambulances, medical transportative systems. Oh, the gathering is unto our God. Mules. Mules is an Old Testament word for advanced travel systems. Like airplanes, helicopters. Say, why are you going? The gathering unto our God. We're gathering them from every place. Ships, cruise ships, they take like thousands, tens of thousands. Wherever they are, we're going for them. So, and upon swift beasts, these are much advanced forms of aircrafts, Boeings, Airbus, 800 people. What are you doing? You say, I'm in the plan of God. I'm doing His will. I don't know how many people are going to take this seriously. But right from these teachings, something in this ministry will shift. Because now you will have understanding why you do the things you do. Why you do the things you do. Why you go the lengths you go to get people. Because the gatherings are unto our God. Speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. The gathering is unto our God. The gathering is unto our God. The gathering is unto our God. I'll never come into your house without an offering. An offering. An offering. God's heart is to gather His people. Now hold on. Don't get distracted. So He says, upon swift beasts to my holy mountain Jerusalem, said the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of our God. See, gatherings are God's plan. To be in the gathering is God's plan. To make sure others are in the gathering is God's plan. On the motorcycles, in the buses, in the cars, you make any means possible to get them into the gathering. You are not without an offering. And when we come, we all present ourselves unto the one who saved us and who called us and who put His Spirit upon us. I want you to make a vow that you will be this man that I've showed you here. From today, you should say to yourself, I'll make sure every space is filled for our God. You know, you don't need to have strength for it. You just need to make up your mind to go for it. You know the testimony he shares. He went. That's how you do. You just go. Of course, you should have prayed before you go. Because it's not going to be by your might. It's not going to be by power. It's going to be by the Spirit of God. And you plunder men into his house. I see men who rise as mighty gatherers for our God. Your discipleship meetings will not be one and twos any longer. Because there will be something about gatherings. You understand? It's unto our God. I'll make sure people are in the meeting no matter what happens. No matter what happens, I'm going to make sure people are in for gatherings. I'm going to be there myself for the gatherings. I'll go out of my way to get people in. I'll go all. I'll do all to get people in. They are mighty nets. Mighty nets. The Lord is expanding your ability to throw and catch several. I see it in this meeting.